I made the decision really out of an abundance of caution, just trying to be as safe as possible. My body doesn't handle respiratory issues very well. I don't have the muscle structure in my lungs that I once did. And so when I get hit with those respiratory viruses and things like that, it can really affect me in a profound way. And so I just, out of abundance of caution, just wanted to distance myself, practice that physical distancing as much as possible. So I chose to phone in my vote. We didn't have anything extraordinary on the agenda that I felt warranted a physical presence, but I made sure to do all my homework prior to the meeting, had city staff answer some of my concerns, and then called in for the meeting itself.
If some people don't know your history, can you explain a little bit about yourself to people who may not know you, Alex?
Yeah, definitely. So when I was 18 years old, I was a couple weeks into my freshman year at college at Morningside College there in Sioux City, and had a diving accident where I dove into 18 inches of water and then ultimately became a quadriplegic. And so with that limited ability to use not only my limbs and extremities, but also the lung capability. You know what I mean? A portion of your lungs become paralyzed, and I can't cough as effectively to expel some of that as I once was. So I've taken my Pneumovax and really stay up on my flu shot and try to take preventative measures. I have a regular diet of vitamin C, especially during flu season. But for me, this is something that I just need to be as cautious as possible. I've been working remotely from home. I now work at Morningside College. And so I've been working from home for more than a week now and really been isolating as much as possible and trying to practice those measures outlined by the CDC.
You're using a lot of caution. Do you think the community is using the caution that they should be using? I know there were concerns. I had a friend over the weekend who said she saw parking lots at shopping centers that looked like Christmas.
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of concern. I think that depending on where you're getting your information and what you would choose to believe and different things like that, everyone is entitled to their personal freedoms, right? But I think that some people are taking this very seriously, and some people with a compromised immune system or maybe elderly loved ones, they're thinking about them and willing to make those personal sacrifices. And others really don't see it as much of a threat, or maybe they hear that, oh, it's similar to the common cold or a flu virus. And so they're not taking the precautions that I think are necessary. And so I think that what we need to continue to do is be informed, to push out the factual information, make sure that people understand the consequences and what this virus is doing. And just make sure that everyone's educated and knows what steps and precautions that they can be taking, because ultimately the decision that I made and that I hope the people throughout Siouxland and our country make is that even if you feel healthy, you feel that you are not susceptible to this, your willingness to sacrifice and stay at home could very well save the lives of people that you know and people that you care about, whether it's close loved ones with a compromised immune system or those elderly people. You would be astonished, Sheila. I mean, myself as an extrovert and a very social person, I can think about the number of people I come in contact with throughout the day. So I had to take myself out of that equation. I had to make sure that I was not going to be a carrier, even if I wasn't susceptible to this. I need to make sure that I'm taking that step back. And so I would encourage people to stay educated and diligent during this time and make sure that they're not the ones that are contributing to the spread of this virus.
Do you think the state's taking enough steps to help prevent the spread or the severity of the illness?
You know, I would applaud certain steps that we are taking. I think that they are tasked with an extraordinarily difficult decision about what we can do and what we should do. I think that we made the right decision shutting down bars, restaurants, things like that, and ultimately even recently hair salons, tattoo parlors, different things like that, casinos. I think the shutting down of those areas was necessary. I think that sometimes people aren't taking this as seriously as they should, and so they're going to frequent those places and still expose individuals and take those unnecessary risks, even though I think that sometimes that's a really hard decision. I know that I'm thinking a lot about the people in our community that are employed in these establishments and doing everything that we can to keep them healthy and keep them open and able to keep employing those individuals. But I think that there are other ways that we can continue to step up as a state. I do worry about the number of test kits that are available. I want to see us proactively testing our population. I think that that's going to be important to really be able to gauge where we are at in this fight, especially as a state. I know there are some states that are being even more proactive than we are. And so I would call on the governor and our state delegation to continue to be as proactive as possible. While I do have you, I do also want to highlight something that just came out. It became available, I believe, today at 8 a.m. There's the small or Iowa Small Business Relief Fund. That's something that I think the state has been proactive in. That is for those businesses that have been affected by the coronavirus. They're able to apply for relief funding to be able to get them through this tough time. So, I mean, to answer your question, I think we are being proactive on some measures. I think we are trying to assist those local and small businesses, but we need to continue to be proactive. We need to make sure people are tested, and we need to make sure that our healthcare systems have the resources necessary to combat this virus.
And when it comes to resources, there are some people, though, in this community that live paycheck to paycheck. Do you think there's something the city could do to help them eventually? Because I know for them, that's an economic crisis to not be able to go to work.
I tell you what, I think about that all the time. I've lost quite a bit of sleep just thinking about that and what we can do as a city to be proactive. We've really looked at not wanting to shut off any utilities, talked with people about reaching out to the city if they're not able to make a bill, if we can get an extension on that, what we can try to do to meet the needs of those people, because I do understand that they're hurting. I do understand that people are of where their next paycheck or where the next their next grocery bill, how they're going to be able to cover these things, especially now that they have kids at home. You know, if with the schools closed, I think that's another thing we need to consider is a lot of these kids are home and parents are trying to provide and support them. And we as a city need to be thinking outside the box and need to be, again, just like I was calling on the state, we as a city need to be proactive and thinking about ways that we can meet that need. I would just say that do as much as you can to be there for those that you love. Reach out to your family, your friends, your neighbors. People in the community are hurting, as we talked about, Sheila. I think that it's important to band together. Some of those restaurants and businesses that we talked about have online gift cards. They have to-go and curbside pickup, or they have merchandise for sale online. Support them in this time, because the people of your community are hurting. If you have a paycheck coming in, you have a job, or you don't have a family that you're trying to support, you're maybe the exception right now. And so we need to band together. This community has risen to the occasion in the past. I spoke on it before with the Flight 232, really that crash, or even the flood of 2011. We come together and support one another. And I think this is another one of those times where you will see the people of Siouxland band together and rise to this occasion. But we need to weather this storm. And in order to do that, we need to support each other and understand that we're going through a very tough time right now. So the more we can do to be proactive and support one another and just reach out and ask for help if help is needed, I think the better off we will be. So I'm proud to serve the people of Siouxland, and I want to be a part of that effort to help in any way that I can. Reach out to your city leaders. If you have an idea, if you want to contact me, my information is available online. I would love to hear from you in any ways that I can help right now.